That's right, it is that time again. Gather up, it is the 111th installment of the Parish of the Patriots show. I'm glad you stopped by. Looking forward to this week's show. I'm always looking forward. I'm pumped, excited to get together with all of you here at the Parish of the Patriots. As always, if you're new around these parts, we have a general discussion. We'll have a Christian-specific segment. A sermon, if you would, will be later on the show. Look forward to that. And if you're not a Christian believer, that is a Christian believer, Christian-specific segment. But if you're not into all of that, you might want to stick around and listen. Not that I'm trying to preach at you or anything, but I do have, had quite a few people be like, well, I'm an irreligious person. I'm agnostic. Don't really believe in all of that. But I enjoy the show. They will tell me I enjoy that segment of the show. So don't discount it. You're welcome one way or the other, but don't bitch about it either. Be like, I don't like all that. Well, I tell you, that's a Christian specific segment. If you ask, choose to sign in to it, don't bitch about it, because I don't want to hear it. But anyway, that's the way we line this show up. And I'll tell you how else we line the show up. It is supported by the volunteer support of you, the listeners. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. No paywalls here. No annoying advertisements. Just all of y'all showing a little support for what we all do here together in this congregation. It is appreciated. If you want to be a part of that, information's at the bottom of the written description. I don't know that anybody actually sits there. I write those out, and Sven sometimes kind of cleans them up, tries to make them make a little more eloquent sense. But I don't even know if anybody reads the write-up, but you're not required to read the write-up, but you can skip to the bottom, and all that information is down there. We got snail mail, we got Bitcoin, got a Monero address down there. If you got some other cryptocurrency, drop me an email for that. I'll do my best to get you an address for that as well. And if you just, want to drop a note and say hi, hey, I sent you a little Bitcoin, here's a note. Your show sucks, or the show's great, or I've got a question. It's always good to hear from you. This is the back and forth that makes this show unique. This is my favorite part. We do get into the listener supporter mailbag. Let's get right to that. No time to mess around. Grandpa Dan, great show yet again. Always the word of wisdom being presented. Love the insight on not being an island in these times. The powers that be really do fear conscious folks coming, forming alliances and community. I am working to cultivate relationships with those who also realize that the Rona is an overblown hoax. When we find people who can see through the BS, it reveals we're on the same wavelength. Thank you for all thank you for all. I should edit that out, but I'm lazy. I'm not going to do it. Thank you for all you do. Seattle Kurt, there really is a lot of opportunity out there, and I applaud you. There's a lot of opportunity. People are realizing more and more, or at least some people are more and more, that we're being lied to. And those of us who have a little more experience dealing with being aware of the number of lies really can offer a lot of support to these people, because like you will have people that like once they realize like there's this big lie, and then they realize that they're being lied to virtually about everything. And then they go off on this deep end, they kind of get way out there, and it's like then everything in the world becomes a lie, and they start thinking that the earth is flat and shit. And it's a good thing that you could be there to kind of reel that in, and just understand. Don't lose your mind. Don't get all weird, crazy. Also, experience with those that glow in the dark. Because if you get like a part of an organized group, say for instance, and this organized group is organizing to protest against the lockdowns or whatever, and you get that guy that shows up and starts wanting to join your group and everything, and then he's the one every time y'all show up, he's like, "Well, nobody's gonna listen to us unless we start, planting bombs and showing up with our guns and waving them at people." You can explain to the others in the group that this person glows in the dark, and you need to, not have anything to do with them, because a lot of these people are very inexperienced at this, and we can offer our experience in these in these matters is a great thing. Those of y'all, and I'm just speaking generally, this isn't really addressed to the listener, I think is great. But, as you go out there and you find these opportunities to cultivate relationships with the people that agree with you on certain things, that understand certain things, they've seen the light on certain things, or read the room, you got people that in every other aspect of their lives are pretty much normies to use that term, but they realize that the coronavirus thing is a huge hoax and they're perpetrating on us, and these lockdowns are BS, and if they hadn't done this big election hoax, but then they go off into, Trump would have saved the world or whatever, read the room. You know, you cultivate, relationships are cultivated. They are not forced. You find that common ground with people and you build on that. This whole lockdown insanity, we have such a great opportunity to build a commonality with people that have completely diametrically opposed views on other issues with us. You know, with, you know, and I'm saying us in general, people don't agree with me on every single thing. They shouldn't. And, you know, we all have to bring a certain individual viewpoint to the table. But this is a great opportunity, whether people realize it or not, to find commonality with people that perhaps don't have commonality anywhere else. So if you find that shared ground on, say, the lockdown thing, but, you know, in other aspects of their life, they're going to be in complete disagreement with you on other things, then don't focus on those other things and don't try to shove them down their throats. You know what I'm saying? Read the room. Cultivate the relationships. A lot of times people, once you cultivate the relationships, at some point in time, maybe some of these other topics that they right now disagree with you on are going to come up. But if you've cultivated that relationship and say, well, I don't really see it that way, this is the way I see it, they're going to be more apt to listen to you. If on your first meeting you show up and start ranting about something that they are not ready to hear about, then you're going to get nowhere and the plant is going to die. The relationship of the plant is going to die before it ever gets a chance to start. But if you cultivate that relationship, eventually some of these things that you look at me like, here's different things these people say, and it's like, you know, they don't line up with what I see on this. You know, don't focus on that, because if you cultivate it, you give it a chance to grow. Then at some point when those topics come up, you know, maybe you can have a calm and rational discussion and explain what you see things as and why you see certain things working a certain way. You know what I'm saying? And they're going to be more apt to listen to you because you've cultivated that relationship. You come in like a bull in a china shop right off the bat and start just smashing everybody in the face with your red pills. They're just not going to have anything to do with you. Not going to hear anything you have to say. You are going to be the crazy one. They may or may not be correct about that either. And so, you know, so you know, use some common sense. No, I think it's great. So yeah, just keep at it. Let's keep on rocking here. Grandpa Dan, hope you're keeping well. Again, thank you so much for your timeless commitment to producing your weekly shows. They are simply a welcome lighthouse for truth and sanity in a sea of malicious lies perpetrated by the evil establishment. And unfortunately, the many lobotomized sheeple in our society. Excellent show last week on raising the high probability of state-executed events that use stooges to push a false narrative, and also in explaining the biblical meanings of adultery and fornication. Please continue to spread the faith and your good humor in these trying times. God bless Phil. And I do. I appreciate that. You're talking about the sheeple in our society. They've become so easy to spot now. The true believers here in Texas, they lifted the mask mandate. So there's no longer a statewide mask mandate anywhere, you know, in the state of Texas. They leave it up to the businesses if they want to say you have to wear a mask or whatever. But I don't know of any businesses that are really pushing that. You know, now me myself, I never wore the mask ever. Didn't wear the mask. Even went into places that had big signs all over everywhere. No, you, all everybody's required to wear a mask. I didn't wear that shit. It was funny because you walk around, you pass the other people that are not wearing it. And you just like head nod, you know, like, yeah, what up? You know, yeah, it's like, yeah, you get it. You get it. And it's funny because they've lifted the mask mandate and you can be like, say, at a restaurant or something and you see the true believers, you know, they're still walking around wearing the masks. So a guy the other day, I shit you not, I saw a guy the other day riding his bicycle down the side of the road. Ain't nobody within 50 feet of this guy. And he's wearing the mask, pedaling his bicycle, wearing the mask. The true believers, they're easy to spot now. See the spot pedaling around. I love the ones, my favorite are the ones that drive around by themselves in their car with the windows up and the air conditioner on, nobody else in the freaking car. And they got the mask on, you know, because it could. They can catch the deadly virus. I refer to those people as the true believers. They believe in it. They believe in the deadly virus. It's going to get them any minute. I don't know what you do with those folks. I'm not talking about people that have actual like health issues, you know, and so they got to take every precaution. I'm not. But I mean, most of these people, like the guy on the bicycle, the guy was probably, I don't know, 30 years old, 35 years old. He's out pedaling the bicycle around. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this guy doesn't have health issues, you know? Anyway, let's keep on. Let's keep on rocking. Grandpa just realized today that I'm at least 2 weeks behind on parish shows. Wish all the best, and I got some shows to catch up on. Kindest regards, Jackie. Well, yes, you do, and you're missing out on good stuff. You cannot miss the shows. And yes, I did read the rest of it, and that's great stuff. And you know, not getting the rest of it because it's personal information. But I will say this. It's a reminder, as I read that, it's a reminder, folks, remember that life goes on. Don't forget that your life goes on. And yes, we are living in a time of societal collapse. We're seeing that playing out sooner rather than later. The exact timeline, I couldn't tell you, but it does seem to keep accelerating. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how, where you are, the things are happening, how, you know, up to speed you are and all these different questions. Your life goes on. You still have to live life. You still need to find something to enjoy in life. You still got to find some meaning and some way to get enjoyment. Your life goes on. It really does. I sometimes see people or I read things from people that they write or whatever. And it's like they have this attitude that once they realize, you know, the precarious position of the world around us, how things are just crumbling apart, they feel like they're obligated to like put the brakes on their own life and stop living. We have to stop living until we fix this. Well, you can't fix it. You can make individual decisions for yourself, and if enough people collectively do that, things can change. But they think that they themselves have to stop living life, that stop moving forward. They have to stand in place until this is fixed. Then I can start living life again. But what if it doesn't get fixed in your lifetime? Then you just pissed that time away, didn't you? I mean, really, I don't want any single one of you to feel guilty for going on and finding enjoyment. If you are living, if you're listening to this show right now, and you're aware of all of this corruption and all of this has been going on in the narratives and everything, you know more about anything than anybody. I hope you're still going on and enjoying life. You have nothing to feel bad about if none of that is negated if you still go on and live your life the best way you can. That's all we can do. It's all we can do. We still got to live our lives the best we can. We can do what we can when we can. We stay devoted to the truth, but you go on and live life. We get X amount of days, and none of us know how many days we get. So yes, no, God isn't going to hold it against you for enjoying, making the most of your life that you can. It's an obligation here. Let's see here, Grandpa. A few Fed bucks for you and some for Sven. I'll be sure and pass those along. Be well and many thanks and God bless, Nick. And yeah, much appreciated. And I will forward those on to Sir Longshanks. Sir Longshanks. I hope it's not a distraction. My production crew just making noise in the background, popping their ears and things such as that. It's hard to find good help. Hard to find good help these days. Grandpa Dan, keep up the good work. Enjoy every show, especially the Christian-specific part. Take care, James. Much appreciated. And it does. It means a lot because I sometimes, you know, I do these shows in an upbeat manner. Trust me, I don't live my day-to-day upbeat. There are days that I sit around and wonder what the hell is going on. I see people doing foolish things. See people doing things, and I'm like, what are they trying to accomplish with that? You know, I mean, I know they know the best, and I'm thinking, what are they trying to do with all of that? But yes, it is much appreciated. And finally, Mr. T, weekly supporter, Mr. T, GPT, love the show, keeps getting better. Well, that is the goal. We do try to keep improving, keep tweaking. I really do like what has become of the show. I really am proud of what we've built here together. You, the listeners, I mean, like I love the people that, you know, I had somebody write me, this has been quite some time back, and they're like, can you quit with the listener supporter mailbag? I don't give a shit about that. Quit. Just stop. Don't care about that. But, you know, it's my favorite part. It really is. It's the back and forth. It's the easy setting of the show for me because, you know, I get this bouncing back and forth and gives me an easy jump off to discuss bigger topics. I think it's what makes shows special. It's just not, I don't know. That's me. Anyway, yes, we rock on here. We keep things moving right along. We had another mass shooting this week. It was interesting to see all these people when they showed the helicopter footage of the guy being taken in. And everybody, all these those that promote the anti-white race hating narrative, the agenda. They all rushed forward to go on their Twitter accounts and proclaim, "See, as a white male, white men are the most dangerous terrorists in the world. Oh, they're horrible, these white men. Well, see, they took a man alive. We knew it was a white man." Then they released the suspect's actual, you know, information, and it winds up his name was Ahmed, and he was not a white man. And they were all running around, you know, deleting their tweets. Some of them, you know, didn't delete the tweets, were like, "Well, maybe he wasn't this time, but he could have been. He will be next time. Will be next time. I refuse to apologize for my anti-white race hating." It's just, and you've noticed I've incorporated that terminology, and I'm not the first person that's used the term anti-white. I'm not trying to claim credit for anything, but I have adopted the term anti-white race hating narrative agenda, whatever, race hater, because I think we've allowed these people and their lies to monopolize the term hate too much, you know? And there's a reason they do it. We'll get into that, I think, a little bit in the Christian specific message, why they project so much hatred out, you know, while proclaiming to be the beacons of love in the world, which we can all see. Anybody with any eyes see it's absolute and utter bullshit. But yeah, no, we've let them monopolize that term hate for far too long, and it's time we turn that back around on them, because it is. They are the ones filled with hatred. Are you talking about that narrative, that agenda? And it's so in your face, so obvious. And what makes me sick is the level of lying. And I don't just mean to promote, you know, the anti-white race hating narrative specifically, just the way they lie about the people they care about. They lie about their hatred, and they lie about what they proclaim to love. You look at all of these. I saw a local news story the other day. Police released a suspect identity and description that they were looking for. They hadn't caught the guy yet. He did a mass shooting. He shot 8 people outside a club. 1 woman died. Shot 8 people. That is a mass shooting. Shoot 8 people, that's a mass shooting. Bet you haven't heard about this, have you? Why? Well, because the shooter was black, and I'm assuming everybody that was shot was black. No white people involved here, so nobody gives a shit. At least not any of those who promote the anti-white race-hating initiative. Now, you look at all these people that show up at the BLM marches, you know, the anti-white race-hating. Now, you know, of course, obviously, we have to set aside those who are, you know, my fellow white people. We're just going to assume, look at the general topic of all these white people, predominantly women, by the way, who show up at these BLM protests, and they try to virtue signal about how much they, how much they love blacks, because black lives matter, right? But, well, what about these 8, I'm assuming, black people that were gunned down outside the club? Did their lives not matter? Well, no, because the shooter wasn't white, and it doesn't promote the anti-white race-hating agenda, the narrative. So their lives don't count then. Their lives don't count. If the shooter would have been white and he shot 8 black people, one of whom died, then that would be nationwide story. We need to do something about these evil white race-hating terrorists. It wouldn't matter if the guy's motivation was he was dating one of these women and whatever excuse he had, they would say it was a hate crime. It's like the whole thing with the massage parlor shooting we were talking about before. You know, I mean, the police, everybody, even everybody involved said, no, this wasn't like he wasn't targeting Asians. He shot white people, too. It didn't have anything to do with hating Asian people. It doesn't matter. The media went up and ran with the race-hating narrative. Why? Well, because they want to promote the anti-white race-hating narrative. So they project that onto white people. This white guy shot these women because they were Asian. He hates women that aren't fat. That's why he targeted Asians. That's why he targeted Asians. He had a thing. He said, I hate women that are small targets. So he went and the white people that got shot were just a footnote, because that doesn't fit into the narrative. You have to cut and choose. You have to pick and choose the narrative. You have to pick and choose what part of the story you tell that fits the narrative. But no, you had this all black involved shooting. You know, we always talk about, everybody knows about the violence in places like Chicago, and they never get national coverage because it's all blacks involved. Now, these are the same people that virtue signal about how much they love black people, that they're out there in the streets with their signs and their BLM thing and all of that because they love blacks. But they don't give a shit when black people die, if whites aren't involved, if whites can't be blamed for it. So they don't love black people because they hate white people. And again, we'll get into why that is. a little bit in the Christian specific segment. We're going to get all we'll delve into that. Delve into that topic a bit. It's also funny that like we talked about last week with the Atlanta shooting guy, you know, the police are doing all they can to explain that this guy was just nuts without, you know, handing the guy a gift wrapped, insanity plea. You know, and the media is like, no, it was a hate crime. It was a hate crime. Now we have this guy, and it turns out he wasn't a white guy. Like, they had immediately were so obviously joyous. That's what's sickening about it. That's what's sickening about it. I brought up this story about, you know, black shooting black. I don't find any joy in that. I don't find any joy. I don't get any happiness hearing about people being killed. And yet, when they thought that this shooter in Boulder was a white guy, I mean, the excitement, the joy, the energy they brought to virtue signal over it is absolutely disgusting. It really, what the... PG-13 here. What in the hell is wrong with people? Oh my gosh, this is great. I mean, they don't say that, but you can tell that, oh my gosh, this is great. We got a mass shooting in. It's a white guy. Hell yeah. Let's get out here on Twitter and virtue signal over it. Talk about how evil white people are. Yeah. I mean, I talk about, you know, black crime statistics and things such as that. But when I read about, you know, black shooting a bunch of other blacks, I don't sit here and go, yeah, woohoo, dead people. I don't know what the hell is wrong with people. I really don't. I can identify with that. I don't get what makes people like that tick. Well, I take that back. I kind of do. And it's a very dark place. Dark place. Nobody wants to go. But it's absolutely sickening. And these people will virtue signal that they're the ones who care about. They're the loving people. It's you evil haters. Y'all are the bad people. You haters that speak the truth. You're the bad people. I sometimes wonder what sane countries, you know, sane nations, Russia, China, you know, all the nations that we're told are evil. I wonder what sane nations look at the U.S. and think. I wonder if they really grasp how insane it is. Because, you know, I mean, they have limited experience with, they haven't got to immerse themselves in the experience, the American experience itself. I wonder what sane countries think about this. We have a senile president that was put in by blatant voter fraud while this government goes around and talks about the democracy and the integrity of elections worldwide, and somebody they don't like gets voted into power somewhere. They claim that the election was frauded when they just did this obvious in your face fraud, and they put this senile puppet in here, and it appears, obviously, I mean, it's being, you know, the politics is being run. I guess it's like the level of separation. I pointed out here a while back that, you know, realize that your government, the politicians in your government are middle management. They're middle management, and then they take their orders, they get their dictates, they just do the bidding of upper management, the board of directors, which are the oligarchs. But now that we have like this senile puppet in here, it's like that line of separation has narrowed quite a bit. And it's like, I don't know, the committee that seems to be making the decisions now on behalf of Joe Biden, I guess they're still middle management taking orders from the oligarchy, but it's like these people are insane. These cancel culture people, they're all insane. I kind of wonder if the oligarchs that actually call the shots, I wonder if they realize, you know, what a dangerous path they're treading on by using people who are literally nuts. These insane people to push their... They realize they think they're useful and they think they can control them and they've got them bought and paid for and they can't, you know, turn on them. But, I mean, you can't assume anything when you're dealing with crazy people. We got people that are literally crazy, apparently. Running the show, but onward we go. Onward the clown car speeds down the Autobahn of American life. But it is, it's hilarious when you hear, you know, the press comes out and says, well, Joe Biden has announced a new policy. Joe Biden didn't announce anything. They got an email that said, Joe Biden has announced. They got an email from the committee. little committee of cabinet members that are serving as upper management. And so you think you got this one middle manager, I'm sorry, not upper management, middle management. You've got this, you think Biden is the middle manager for the oligarchs, but you actually have this committee, all these cabinet members are actually the president now. That's presidential decree by committee. It's all supposed to make sense. You know, the border crisis. It's Trump's fault. It's Trump's fault that all these people, you know, that Biden basically said everybody can come here now, and they all came. And that's Trump's fault because he built the wall or something. None of it makes any sense. It's kind of like California on a nationwide basis. You know, years ago, decades ago, California, they have this immigration problem, had forever, but they were the ones that brought it on, though. And back, I think it was in the 80s, California announced that anybody could come there and get on welfare. And then they were all pissed and shocked when all of these Mexicans came across the border and got on welfare. And it was the Mexicans' fault. But you were the ones that sat there and said they could come and get free money. And they came and took free money. And it's their fault. Makes no sense. Joe Biden basically came into office and said, boy, his top number one priority is going to let everybody come here and get free money. And then everybody came here and marched to the border and started crossing the border. And apparently it's so much so that they can't ignore it any longer. And he's like, they're not coming because of me, even though I'm a nice guy and I'm flattered by that. That's what he actually literally said. Poor old senile fool. And, you know, it's their fault. It's Trump's fault. Somebody's fault. It is definitely not his fault for saying they could come here. People are not that difficult to figure out. If you say, hey, you can come in my house and take all the free shit you want to, and they come in your house and take your shit, that you can't act like it's somebody else's fault. You were the one that told them that. It's kind of like how they demonize China, these evil chinks. They stole these American jobs. No, y'all took tax money and incentivized, you made it, encouraged all of the corporations, all of them to ship our manufacturing to China. They didn't steal shit. They might have stole your patented design, but you deserve that shit. It's a Chinese. The Chinese are always stealing our technology. How do you think they do that? Because you go over there and it's cheaper to build it there and you can mark up your profit margin. So you go over there, show them the design, say, build it this way. And they say, oh, okay. And then they copy the design and build another brand name of it. And you're mad about that. You were mad that you're screwing over the American worker. Piss on him. Who cares about the working man? They're evil chinks. I tell you, they're evil chinks. Stole our jobs. They steal our technology. What's wrong? You should be outraged about it while you draw your unemployment. I saw a story the other day say, oh, it's not so bad. Things are getting better. They're going right. Only, I think it was 600,000 or 800,000 people applied for unemployment this week. See, the number has gone down. But that's new applications. It's all in the framing. How many people total? Well, you just had 600,000 or 800,000 more people apply. I think that's pretty bad. When you look at the overall number, they're already drawing unemployment. And how many of those are drawing unemployment on what amounted to a shitty job to begin with? My restaurant job, I got laid off because my restaurant went broke. I was riding around the other day and we were remarking how many places have gone under. Places that have gone completely broke because you cut their cash flow off. You cut their cash flow off for 6 months in the name of the doom virus. And what? Afterwards, say, okay, it's over. Now you can go back to business. How many of you, if you just cut off and you didn't get that government money, you didn't get that unemployment, you just no income. You can't have any money coming in for 6 months. But in 6 months, don't worry, we'll let you start working again. How many of you could make it? But we're shocked when businesses go under. The last little remnant businesses that were out there trying to survive. So many of them now have been stomped out. Don't worry, though. The big corporation's doing just fine. Amazon's doing great. Walmart, awesome. Home Depot, Lowe's, all these corporate outfits, they're all doing just fine. Mom and pop shop. The barbershop had to be closed, but Walmart was safe. The Rona doesn't go there. It's so just tiring. You know, they're not. It's because it's a hoax and because it's a lie. It's all promoted on a lie. So as a result, the things that they mandate make no sense. And you read these things and it's like, because of the coronavirus and science, you know, nobody can be out after 8 o'clock. or some shit. You'll see, read these, because I'm talking about like worldwide, all these different diktats that are done in the name of the deadly virus. And it's like, nobody, there's an 8 o'clock curfew because of the deadly virus. It's like, what does the doom flu become more potent after dark? It doesn't. They say it's a science. It's the same science that said you had to be 6 feet apart. They never told us where they came up with this number. 6 feet apart. Now we're up to two masks and maybe a face shield. Is now, well, you can do 3 foot apart. We might let you do 3 foot. It's all silly. Why? Because it's all based on lies. Nonsensical. They're just making shit up as they go and declaring that it's science. And of course, the media repeats it. The media amplifies it. And so you're told that it's true. And you see, I talked about earlier, the true believers are out there. They're believing it. Hell, forget how many feet apart. I'm out here riding my bicycle by myself with the mask on. I'm that good of a person. It's become like a virtue signal now. You know, I'm wearing my mask. I saw a deal the other day, and some Asian woman, isn't it funny? By the way, she wasn't a Karen, because only white women can be Karens. Some Asian woman that, if she was white, would have been a Karen, but she was Asian, so she was not Karen. And she was on a bus, and I think this was down in Florida, and she tried to get all up on a black man's shit about not wearing his mask, and he went off on her ass. And I'm just sitting there cheering him on. You tell her, Tyrone. You tell her. The people that not only just, you know, because Florida doesn't have a mask mandate either, but she took it upon herself. And you'll run into people like that. They take it upon themselves. Why ain't you wearing your mask? Why don't you? Probably for the same reason that you won't mind your own freaking business. How about that? How about you shut the hell up? Step up. But Tyrone went off on her ass. I'm sitting there cheering Tyrone on. You tell her, I hate these mask nannies. This is not enough that they virtue signal, but then they think they're going to get up on somebody because they're not doing it. Oh, look at you. You're a bad person. You're a bad person. This isn't Twitter. Better shut your mouth, bitch. This isn't Twitter. You're not going to be able to block them. Social media has screwed people's brains up. You notice that? How people, like, you know, I don't have any social media now, and it's great. I'm not saying you need to get off social media. I'm telling you, I'm not saying that. If you're on social media, maybe you can promote this show. Maybe you've managed to keep a Twitter account and you can promote this show and Radio Albion. That's good. Good stuff. But I really have no social media. For me, the social media days are done. There's no point in it. You know, when you could go out and mingle with the public at large and exchange ideas, whether you agree or disagree, and, you know, point out uncomfortable, make poke fun at the sacred cows and things such as that. It was fun, and there was a point to it. And those days sadly are done. But social media has really screwed people up. You know, like I say, I was talking about the woman on the bus, and that's a social media mindset. She's virtuously, it's like she's incorporated Twitter into her real life. She's gone IRL and thinks that real life is Twitter, and she sees somebody without a mask, and she's going to, of course, she manages to film it. That helps the virtue, helps the virtue signaling. And she's going to go all off on somebody because, why aren't you wearing your mask? See, look at me. Look at me. Because if she just simply believes in the doom virus, she'd wear a mask and be happy with that. And you don't think to herself, the joke's going to be on you, Tyrone, when you're dead from the virus. But she knows deep down inside, Tyrone ain't going to die of no damn virus. It's all about making herself look like a good person. So she's going to virtue signal at Tyrone about not wearing the mask. It's a dangerous thing because real life isn't Twitter. You know, where you when somebody comes back at you with that shit, you can't block them and demand that Twitter shut down their account. You're going around virtue signaling at Tyrone, trying to get up all on Tyrone shit about not wearing a mask. Not a good idea. It's generally, those things don't end well. Social media could have been such a great thing, you know, would be when you could have people. But you see, people were on social media when, you know, because years ago when we were all allowed to be on Twitter, when people with opposing viewpoints could be on Twitter. And I hate it because they always use this excuse if we want to keep people safe. You know, somebody disagreeing with you on the internet is not unsafe. Okay. I mean, really, just getting up on Tyrone shit about not wearing a mask, that's unsafe. Getting up on any random, you know, and I'm not picking on Tyrone here. I was applauding Tyrone, but I'm going to expand this here because not all white people are pushovers either. And getting up on some random stranger shit about not wearing a mask, like you're doing, living Twitter out in real life, That is dangerous. People disagreeing with you and pointing out that you're stupid on social media, that's not dangerous. We want to keep a safe environment for everybody. No, I mean, back when social media could have been great if social media was where everybody could poke fun at sacred cows, and that wasn't allowed. For all the outrageous things and troll posting that we did, a lot of us did back in the day, we were poking fun at their sacred, we were poking at their sacred sacred cows, and that's what was funny. That's what made it effective, is because it was funny. You look at the lack of humor in the professional comedians that we have now, and there's no humor there. You notice that? Because, like, for comedy to be funny, you have to poke fun at things that you're not supposed to be allowed to poke fun at. Instead, their jokes amount to, oh, here's my latest joke that I'm being paid millions of dollars to tell you on TV. These people that don't agree with everything the media and the government says, whoa, they're dumb. They probably live in a trailer house somewhere. Whoa, they probably work with their hands. Stupid. That's their humor. And it's not humorous. It's stupid. Their jokes all amount to anybody that disagrees with the media and the government are stupid. Wow, that's some brave humor right there. That's some edgy humor right there. Make fun of working people. Make fun of poor people. Make fun of people that don't agree with the government and the media and the narrative. Woo! But now that social media is what it is, you know, we deal with reality. It's just toxic. It's just toxic. Because the social media that exists now are just, you know, you got these people like Twitter. These people on Twitter, and you got those, like, all those people that ran out to virtue signal about the shooter in Boulder being a white guy. That's a toxic environment where people are never challenged. They never have their worldview challenged. And so they just assume everybody, all the good people, think like they do. If not, they'd have, if not, then they would be on Twitter. So they must be bad people. It could have been great. Started off as kind of a cool deal. It really did. It allowed people to really freely exchange ideas. But unfortunately, when people are free to exchange ideas and not be shut down, certain truths get spoken about that aren't allowed to be spoken. They don't want you poking fun at the sacred cows. They don't want you poking fun. They don't want you saying things that they are demanding you not be allowed to say. So they have ultimately have to enforce it. You're not allowed to say that. Well, bullshit. Here, I'm going to point it out. That's stupid. They're wooden doors. And you're not allowed to say that. We're going to prove it. Ultimately, they have to enforce it. And so they kick you off of those platforms. But anyway, that we're at this point. Social media is toxic. It really has become a toxic. And again, I'm not saying you can't have social media. If you can do it and use it in something in a positive manner in your life, so be it. But I'm just talking in generalities. It's become very much a toxic thing in our society. The thing is, the free exchange of ideas is what a healthy society has. The free exchange of ideas is the way you shape your worldview. You know, I mean, nobody's right on everything all of the time, but you're not going to know that if people don't bring you the truth. You know, a lot of people are just, sometimes are just mistaken. It's not that they're evil. It's not that they're stupid. They just are mistaken. But the way they can get, you know, unmistaken, the way they can be less ignorant about something is if people can bring to them the truth. What happens with these people is they don't have any truth. They bring virtue signaling, and those that they're coming up against, they have the truth. And so they bring their imaginary world, this bubble that they live in, and they bring it in the form of their virtue signaling. They show up with their virtue signaling, and they say, oh, look here. You're wrong and evil because, and they fill in the blanks with their nonsense. But the person they come up against says, well, you're stupid. Look here. This is, you know, and they lay out the truth, and it pops a hole in their little bubble worldview. But see, they can't accept that. But see, if that's allowed to happen, you know, people can then correct their worldview. You can say, oh, wow, I was wrong about that. Anybody who thinks they're right about everything all the time is sadly mistaken. And nobody right about everything all the time. If you seek the truth, you're going to be right about things more often than not. But to seek the truth, you have to be able to, you have to be flexible. You have to understand when somebody brings you something that is truthful and you thought, you know, you didn't have all the information. So what you thought was true, you have to adjust that a little bit. Doesn't mean everything was wrong. Most of the time it just means on this particular aspect of it, you didn't understand that, but now you do. But if you just shut all of that out and demand everybody be banned, then you never get to the truth. So what is social media used for now? It's used to keep people from the truth. They don't want people being exposed to the truth. If information, if people are able to back and forth and free flow ideas, and people are able to disagree with one another and point out things that they think are true, and then the other people, if they think they have more factual information and they can back and forth, that is where people get closer to the truth. They ban all of that. They have literally shut all of that down. So what does that tell us? By extension, that tells us that they do not want people getting closer to the truth. They want people living in a bubble. They want people living in a bubble of isolate, a bubble of lies. They want people just to buy into the lie, buy into the narrative, and don't question it. And then the government. The government has a nerve to have these stupid hearings where they call up Twitter, the heads of Twitter, Facebook, and Google, to pull them on the carpet. And they never do anything. They're not going to do anything. It's like when these politicians go take a tour of the border. They're going to take a tour of the border. What? They've never seen it before? They're going on vacation? Like, they don't know what's happening down there unless they go down and see it for themselves. It's all stupid. It's all theater. These hearings, oh, we're going to listen to Jack Dorsey, who I'm absolutely convinced is just like a Joe Biden CEO. I do. I think the guy's like an idiot. I think there's something wrong with that guy. I think he's just like a puppet. And then he gets told what to say, and he's the one that takes the heat. But they call the heads of these social media companies up and call them on the carpet. And now that we're in complete clown world, half the time the criticism that is leveled at Facebook, Twitter, Google is that they're not banning people fast enough. You're not banning enough people, and thus you're promoting the hatreds. You're promoting the white supremacy, which is anything that runs counter to the anti-white race-hating agenda. That's white supremacy. They get called on the carpet, and people see this, they're like, man, Congress is having hearings, and they got the head of Facebook and Twitter, they got them on the carpet, holding them to account. Oh, really? What are they telling? They're demanding they ban more people. Oh, okay. Makes perfect sense. But even the ones that are virtue signaling up there to their own voters, you know, you're banning conservative voices. This is like the umpteenth hearing they've had on this. They don't ever do anything. They're not going to do anything. No, it doesn't matter if Timar suddenly controlled the Congress, Senate, the House, the presidency. They're still not going to do anything because they're middle management. We're going to wrap up the regular portion of the show on that note. Got to get into the Christian specifics of a much anticipated sermon this week here. Parish of the Patriots. So yeah, let's do that. You know what to do. Get in here, fill those pews. Let's do it. Let's get to this week's sermon here, the Parish of the Patriots. You know, week in, week out, I'm always hoping, you know, when we do this, it's like, I want to share something profound with you. And I always hope that somebody at least gets something out of it. And this week's a little different. This is something I kind of mentioned it last week. You know, I jot these things down when they come up, when I think of them or whatever, and it's like, oh, we'll talk about that. But then we get into other subjects and it gets pushed back. This particular one, I think, has been pushed back two or three times, but we're going to finally get into it this week. And it's one of those things that at first glance, I look at it and I'm like, well, everybody gets that, you know, I mean, it's a no brainer, but you can't assume that. And I think there's just something here that's so obvious when I look at this particular verse of what Jesus tells us. There's, you know, it's something that most people, even the casual member of the MCC, could rattle off by memory. And yet I think there's just something like, it's like a can't see the forest for the trees type of situation. It's like so obvious, but yet I think a lot of people miss it. Just because maybe it's so obvious. So let's get into that. We'll go ahead and read. We'll go ahead and whip open the Bibles here, and we'll go ahead and read our verses. And spoiler alert: I know we've read this verse before in a different context of a different discussion. We're going to do Mark 12. Let's do verses. We're just going to do verses 30 and 31 to get to our point here. And of course, this is Jesus speaking. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Now, as I said, we've actually read these verses before in the different context. So that's one of the things I find breathtaking, or just breathtaking. Just I really find intriguing is the more you go through your Bibles, you will find things that you've read before, maybe read before multiple times, and you understand them. You know, you have a good grasp of them. But then you'll read them again, and you'll walk away with a completely different impression. There's so many multiple lessons to be learned from Jesus' words. You know, and it's not that the other thing you learn from it is incorrect. It's just that they're encompassing, and there's so much contained here. There's so much to take away. And this is a good example of this. And I thought we'd get into this. Because of course everybody lives, you love your neighbor as yourself. What's more to understand? But then we look at verse 30, which came before that, because he says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." And as he starts off verse 31, he says, "And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other greater commandment than these." And it's the two are connected, because you're made in the image of God. I mean, especially as a believer through Christ, you were formed. You were supposed to be a reflection of the image of God. Now, love your neighbors yourself. And again, this is a verse here. This is something the MCC would love. You know, probably standard run of the mill thing they would talk about. You gotta love your neighbor. I like to think of it as, of course, I think of things in simplistic terms. I suppose in layman's terms, as it were. And my version of this is, you know, treat other people with respect, and you know, treat other people with the respect that you yourself want to receive. But here's the thing that can get so easily missed in all of this. You know, love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, you know, you got to love other people like you love yourself. You're supposed to love other people. But here's the problem. And I think this is the obvious part that so many people miss. That includes you. You are people too. Because people look at this, and people will teach this, and will talk about this verse of from the Bible that Jesus is teaching here, these words of Jesus, and all the love, all the respect, all of that is focused on other people, and it misses the point that you're included in that. You see, you cannot love other people. You can't have any love for your neighbor if you don't love yourself. This is one of the things I see the hypocrisy when you look at all of these white people. We're going to set aside those who are playing the role of, hello, my fellow white people. But when you see all of these alleged white, when you see all these white people running around like a part, for instance, a part of BLM, and they're trying to signal that they really love all of these black people. But they don't. And how do I know they don't? Because they work for the anti-white race-hating agenda. But they themselves are white, you see. They themselves are white, but they promote and they work for, they support the anti-white race-hating agenda. So it's self-hatred. And if you hate yourself, because, I mean, really, this is not anything overly complicated here. If you support an agenda that is detrimental to yourself, it is safe to say that you hate yourself. If you are a white person and you support the anti-white race-hating agenda, then you literally hate yourself. There's no way to get around that. Otherwise, you have a contradiction that cannot be resolved. The only way that can make sense is you are self-hating. And if you are self-hating, you cannot claim to love black people or other white or anybody else. You see, that love has to start with yourself. I'm not talking about being narcissistic and focused on yourself. And, you know, you get these people that are just so self-absorbed. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, though, is you have to have a basic sense of love for yourself. You cannot give love to other people. You cannot give respect to other people if you have no love or respect for yourself. Now, I'm not trying to make this sound like some sort of motivational pep talk or something, but it is a fundamental truth. You show people respect, but you have to respect yourself. Don't go around cheating people. Don't screw people over. At the same time, don't cheat yourself. And don't allow other people to screw you over. I think it was from a John Wayne movie. I don't remember for sure. One of those old movies, you know, and he was asked about something, you know, and he basically said, it's not that complicated. He said, I treat other men with respect and I demand the same in return. You have to demand the same in return. You treat other people with respect, but you expect to be treated with respect. And if that is not reciprocated and they wish to be disrespectful and shitty towards you, you don't owe them a damn thing. This is not the MCC where they tell people if people shit all over you and treat you like a doormat and show you no respect, then Jesus wants you to just keep showering them with the love. That's bullshit because you're not loving yourself. And it's a fake and you're lying. And now you slip in once again and you're falling in line with the lie. If somebody refuses to treat you with respect, if somebody refuses to treat you correctly, to treat you fairly, and you turn around and spout off a bunch of nonsense about how you love and forgive them, and you just, I'm going to love them anyway, no matter how this, A, you're not showing love to yourself, and B, that's bullshit. That's a lie. Those are just words you're mouthing to virtue signal that what a good person you are. It's like whenever you read a story about some asshole that murders somebody in cold blood or rapes and stabs some woman to death, and her MCC family virtue signals on TV about, well, I forgive the killer, even though the killer is completely unrepentant. He doesn't care. He's completely unrepentant. They're up there virtue signaling. Well, I forgive him because that's what Jesus would want me to do. I'm going to tell you what, really. Because if you are unrepentant of sin and you just keep on doing sin without any repentance and that's how you live your life, you are going to hell. Jesus Christ himself is sending your dumb ass to hell. But you're saying this is what Jesus wants. Why? Because that's unchristlike. Jesus wants you to be as Christlike as you can be. And Jesus, okay, so if we are to be as much like Jesus as we can manage, obviously we can't do it 100%, but we try. That's the whole point here. We try. If Jesus wants you to be as Christ-like as possible, and we know that the unrepentant, those who refuse to repent of their wickedness and their evil doings, I mean, Jesus is throwing them into hell. But you sit there and think, well, Jesus wants me to forgive them, even though they're completely unrepentant, and they gang-raped my daughter and then strangled her to death and then chopped her up into pieces and ate her in a stew. But Jesus wants me, and then they laughed about it. Even in court, they laughed about it. But I'm going to forgive them. You're just an idiot, and you're smearing the name of Jesus Christ. That is not Christ-like. That is virtue signaling, and it is weakness. You have to love yourself, or you can't love other people. I'm going to tell you what, if you hate yourself, if you are a self-loathing person, you ain't got no love to give nobody. How can you love your neighbors yourself if you don't even like yourself? Most people that go around and they're frustrated and they're angry and they just hate other people, you know? They just hate other people. I hate everybody. I mean, and everybody makes jokes like that, you know? You know, I don't discriminate. You know, I hate everybody equally. I'm not talking about, we're talking about jokes here. I'm talking about people who really, on a fundamental level, they do not like other people. They are bitter towards the world. They're bitter towards other people. But, you know, at the end of the day, most of that is because they're bitter and resentful and angry at themselves. Yes, life isn't fair. You know, yes, there are external forces that do things to us that we have no control over, and it throws things in our life out of kilter. Yes, all of that is true. But for the most part, where you are at in life, I mean, yes, those things do affect your life. I'm not saying they don't exist. But honestly, for the most part, especially the older you get, where you are at in life and your situation in life is the result of the culmination of your life decisions. I mean, and that's a truth. And when you're not in a place in life that you want to be, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I'll be the first to tell you this life hadn't turned out quite the way I wanted it to be when I was young. But when your life isn't exactly the way you wanted it to be, and you realize or you accept the fact that, you know, you wind up blaming everybody else. But the fact of the matter is, the vast majority, the bulk of where you're at is the culmination, is the accumulation of decisions. You make it not usually by one decision, but you make multiple decisions through life. And we can't look at the future. You know, when you get mad and you beat yourself up because, man, if I would, I was just saying the other day, I was looking at the price of Bitcoin and I was remembering back when Bitcoin was like $200. And I'm like, I could have just like borrowed the money and bought like $2,000 worth of Bitcoin and I would be like banking right now. You know, and it is easy to be frustrated and beat yourself up, but you have to give yourself a little break because nobody has the ability to see the future. You're not omnipotent. I'm not either. Nobody is in this world. And yeah, and you know, no, hindsight's 20/20, as they say. And when you made those decisions, you know, whether in hindsight they're foolish or not, you probably, most of the time at least, made the best decision, you know, that you could. But the thing is, they all add up. That all these different decisions you make add up and accumulate over time. It's like having if you have a little air conditioner, you know, and you got that little filter that slides in there, you know, and it's like the dust particles in that filter. If you've only had the air conditioner running 1 week, pull it out, the filter's still pretty clean. But after 6 months, you pull that filter out and it's full of stuff. Well, it accumulates in there, and your decisions in life work much the same way. They accumulate and they kind of form a picture of what your life looks like. And if your life, the point is, if your life isn't exactly where you want it to be, it's, and you realize that mostly it's an accumulation of decisions you made, it's easy to slip into self-loathing, you know, and then it's like bitterness and you feel like you're stupid and why did I do that? And why didn't I do this? And I should have done this. But the problem with that is you can't love your neighbors yourself because you don't like yourself. And furthermore, you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And if you are a reflection of Christ, if you are a reflection of God in that you were created in his image, if you're a reflection of Christ as you are part of the brotherhood of Christ through Jesus, and you don't love yourself, then how can you love the Lord? You see, these are related. That's what he says. Like, you can't love the Lord or your neighbor if you don't have any love for yourself. Have you ever tried to like love somebody that hates themselves? You will discover if you've not, you run into people like that and you try to show them love and you try to, you know, and it doesn't matter. You think, well, they just don't understand. You know, there's people out here that care about them and you try to express, you know, hey, we care about you. You know, I care about you. Da, da, da. And it doesn't matter. It falls on deaf ears and you're like, what is wrong with them? Well, they don't like themselves. You cannot love somebody that refuses to love themselves. It's just a waste of time. And moreover, you can't love the Lord if you have no love for yourself. Now, again, I'm not talking about people that take it to the other extreme and they're so self-centered that, you know, I mean, they don't know if anybody else in the world even exists. They make themselves like a false god. You know, I'm not tired of it. And I say these things with the assumption that y'all have common sense and you get what I'm saying here. You're just saying some narcissist, some self-centered, self-absorbed person. Yeah, no, but it's so easy. You know, and if you're like me, because I tend to beat myself up. I'm harder on myself than I am on other people. I really am. And I would be willing to bet that a lot of y'all are the same way. You know, I will cut other people more slack for the mistakes they make than I will cut for myself. You know, somebody said, oh man, I mean, man, you screwed that up. But you know what? We got to pick up. We got to move forward. Yeah. But when I look and I realize I screwed something up, you know, I will beat myself up over that for days. You know, I am. I'm harder on myself. I'm harder on myself than honestly I probably should be at times. And it just gets so easy to forget to love yourself, to treat yourself. And again, I make this point so often, but remember, in the biblical sense, there is no empty emotionalism. And terms like love have been so corrupted, like all the other words, so many other words and terms in our society today. But I always say here, you know, think of everything. There is no empty emotionalism in the Bible. It's all action. So when we say terms like love, think of it as treating somebody with respect, you know, treating somebody with respect. If you don't respect yourself, you can't respect others. If you aren't willing to treat yourself right, if you're not willing to treat yourself fairly, then you are not going to be able to honestly treat others fairly, to treat others with respect. You can lie and you fake your way through, but that's always a slippery slope because we know who's the father of lies. And you might think you're doing a great thing. Well, this is a good thing. I'm being humble. That's what I'm being. I'm being humble here. But you're slipping into the devil's territory because you're starting to adopt a lie. You don't love yourself. You don't respect yourself. You don't remain. You know, and if you respect yourself, you expect other people to respect you in return. I'm not talking to be like, you know, you don't disrespect me. Now I'm going to go off on this, you know, way exaggerated reaction. But if you demand respect for yourself because you respect yourself and you treat other people accordingly, it's really not that complicated. I came up with this, like I said, I wanted to talk about this simple fact, this simple point for like 3 weeks now. It keeps getting pushed off. But I thought we'd talk about it, and like I say, this isn't anything. I'm not under the illusion that I just revealed something breathtaking to all of you. But it is something that I think so many people miss the forest for the trees, so as to speak. It's obvious. It's right there in front of you. Jesus honestly spelled it out. And yet, so many times when people look at this verse, they focus on loving somebody else. You know, and you gotta be this way to other people. But they forget that they are people too. And you yourself are included in this command from Jesus as well. Anyway, like I said, nothing breathtaking. I hope, though, that perhaps you hadn't thought of that before. And maybe you'll remember to treat yourself with a little bit of respect and demand respect from other people accordingly. Treat people fairly and treat yourself fairly. Don't screw anybody over, but don't screw yourself over. And don't be content with allowing other people to screw you over as well. Because you will find that when you get that mindset, you are able to treat people. It comes more naturally. You will treat people better, you know, because you want to be, you know, because you yourself treat yourself better and you expect other people to treat you better as well. Anyway, we're going to wrap up on that note. I'm getting better at getting these shows in on time. So, once again, thank you all of you. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes who offer the voluntary financial support for the show. Really is appreciated. And we're going to back on out of here. I appreciate you stopping by. Hope you got something out of the show. We'll see you right back here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.